Welcome back to this special edition of Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm your host, Ray Graff. 2012 was a year of challenges for New York, not the least of which was the devastation of Hurricane Sandy as she tore up the eastern seaboard. In state politics, the Assembly remains firmly Democratic, while this year will usher in a new era of governance in the Senate by a controlling coalition of Republicans and the five-member independent Democratic Conference, the effectiveness of which is yet to be seen. In the middle of it all is Governor Cuomo, who continues to enjoy high approval ratings and remains among those potential candidates mentioned in conversations about the 2016 presidential race. Joining me today for analysis and commentary are a panel of guests who are very familiar with New York State policy and politics. Throughout his 20-year career as an assemblyman representing the Capital Region, Jack McEnany has been a key voice on issues including veterans' rights, education reform, environmental preservation, economic development, and public safety. Having stepped away from public service after deciding not to run again last year, he joins us now for an inside look at what we might expect from the governor and the legislature this session. Assemblyman McEnany, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ray. Good to be here.
Also with us in the studio is David Catalfamo, a partner at the Albany-based consulting and communications firm Capital Public Strategies and a 20-year veteran of New York State government with extensive experience working in both the legislative and executive branches. As director of communications for former Governor Pataki, he was a senior advisor on strategy, public policy, budgetary, and political matters. And Mr. Catalfamo, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ray. Glad to be here.
Now, if that weren't enough, also joining us via telephone is our own Dr. Alan Chartok, president and CEO of WAMC. He's professor emeritus at the University at Albany, publisher of the Legislative Gazette, the newspaper of New York State government. He joins us via in an undisclosed location. We won't say where it is. Alan, welcome. Can you hear us?
via telephone.
That's right. How are you?
Okay. I'm good. I got off the phone just a little while ago with some people, some sources, let's just say close to the governor, and I can tell you pretty much what's going to be in the state of the state, if that's okay with you, Ray.
Well, feel free.
Okay. A huge part of this is going to go to economic development, because that's where he is. The governor's people are putting out the word, hey, look, we started by needing to deal with the budget and to cut things, but now we're going to be able to develop some more. We'll be able to give the school districts some of the money back that they need so much. There's going to be a huge amount of attention paid here.
Okay.
To the way in which education works in New York State. As you know, the governor had a commission. Jeffrey Canada and so many others were on it. We can look to see things spoken of, like the extension of the school day on an experimental basis. We can expect that pre-K, full-time pre-K for those most in need, will be on his agenda. We'll be looking at raising our expectations of teachers and how we train them, and working with SUNY and CUNY to make sure that we get the best and the brightest in teachers, and that's what he's going to be talking about.
Mm.
And so economic development, global warming is going to play a huge part in this thing. As you know, he hasn't pulled any punches. And, of course, guns, which he's getting both blasted, that's a bad word, but yelled at by the gun community, as well as a tremendous amount of support from people who have just about had enough. So those are some of the highlights.
David Catalfamo, you know, there was an article in the Buffalo News today, and the headline, it was Tom Precious, and the headline, mm-hmm. Will Cuomo move to the left in state of state today? What do you think?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think he's got a need to. I mean, it's a far different positioning for a conservative Republican to be running and governing in a state like New York and having to face re-election with a shifting demographic than it is for a incumbent Democrat who already has, a liberal cred, so to speak, on a host of issues, and a 70-something percent approval rating. He doesn't need to move at all.
But if he, in fact, is, and we don't know if he is or not, planning on making a run nationally in 2016, at some point he will have to get that liberal base back, correct?
I don't know that he's ever lost it. I mean, you know, he led the fight to get same-sex marriage approved in New York. I mean, there's not a lot of states that can say that. I mean, he has a record on some liberal issues. I think that the fact is that he probably gets a little bit more of a beating here from your home state, which you always do, candidly. Yeah. And probably the biggest test for him is where he comes down on this whole issue of shale development and hydrofracking. That obviously has got a lot of energy to it. We see it today in the Capitol, and I would expect that might be the one issue that actually might resonate more, or at least feels like it today, right?
Well, if Alan is correct that global warming will play a big part, that's something that certainly isn't on the conservative side, and that's something which will ameliorate any some dissatisfaction on his position on fracking, which has extended out for a very long time, as we know from demonstrators in the streets today. A very great number of people are very unhappy with that in the environmental community. So he's got that.
And by the way, Jack, you're not going to find, I believe, a single word about fracking in the speech today.
I think you're probably right.
Hmm.
If there's anything there, I suspect it will be a sentence. One of those things where you can say, if you remember the old ad, like the ragu, it's in there, but it won't be in there with great emphasis.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to an extended Vox Pop today. Governor Cuomo set to perform, if you will, his State of the State address at 1:30, and we will have that for you live. In the meantime, we're joined by David Catalfamo and retired Assemblyman Jack McEnany, as well as Alan Shartok, who, again, is in a secret, undisclosed location. And we will welcome your calls a little later. Exactly. We'll welcome your calls a little later in the program. You can comment on the governor's speech. Jack, you know, we've been reporting the last 24 hours these negotiations that are going on with top lawmakers and the governor prior to the State of the State. Take us inside that process. Is anything really happening?
Well, the last I heard, and I'm talking an hour ago, is that both Senator Connor, a former police officer, Republican, was confirming that he felt they were 95% in agreement. And, of course,
on what, though?
On some sort of gun legislation.
Okay.
The two highly emotional issues right now are gun control in general and fracking. And apparently they're coming close to something on gun control.
And they will not bother with, if Alan is correct in his prediction or his inside information, they won't touch fracking today.
I don't think you can ignore it totally and completely, but maybe an emphasis on global warming and the effects that we saw for anyone who was ever a doubter after Hurricane Sandy, they should have a different opinion. And that those infrastructure needs and government response needs, I think you'll probably stress that because it's certainly on people's mind, and it also puts him in a position of an environmentalist and an acknowledger of the global warming, which too many people have denied for too long.
You know, Liz Benjamin on these airwaves on Monday did a preview, if you will, of the State of the State, and she said that, you know, Governor Cuomo has played nice with Senate Republicans for 2 years now, and she predicts he's about to play hardball with that same crew. One of the examples she gave was he purposely did a meeting with the Independent Democratic Conference separate from the Republican leadership the other day. Now, I don't know what to make of that. What do you make of that?
I don't think any of us know for sure. I'll ask David, who's more of a Republican expert than I am, since that's the majority of the non-regular Democrats there. How do you feel that's going?
I actually think that there's probably not a lot to it. I think it's more about external politics than it is actually about internal politics. Mm-hmm. And what I would suspect is that, you know, the reality is that they've had a good governing partnership. And the reality is that that Senator Klein has been in a partnership with that for the last couple of years anyway. So I don't actually look at it as going to be functioning dramatically different in reality than it has.
I think every member of the legislature, both houses, both sides of the aisle, or all three sides of the aisle, if that's the case, in the
center
Senate.
Of the aisle.
Yeah. I think the Brennan report that came out years ago, and in many cases was quite unfair, especially to the assembly, but with that the most dysfunctional legislature in the nation, which came as a great relief to some states I could mention.
But, yeah, like Mississippi. beat. Right.
For a start, I think there's several, but I think that dysfunctionality, which became very real and apparent when the coup took place over in the Senate, is something that really painted the legislature with a broad brush and with a negative image. And I think there's a spirit today in the Capitol of optimism. I think people like the popularity of the governor. They like some of his ideas very much, even if they don't agree 100% on everything. And I think there'll be a real effort to be functional and say, see, it wasn't true, or at least it isn't true now. I think the honeymoon is still there.
Alan,
I want to jump in, if I may, Ray, and just simply say that I think that the reason that Dean Skelos is still the majority leader, or one of the two, depending on how you're looking at this, the president of the Senate, the one thing that you know is that, you know, the reason they're there is because Andrew Cuomo let them be there. I mean, if he had vetoed the way in which we redraw our districts, which he pledged to do during the campaign. So I think they owe him, and I think they owe him a lot. So if he comes back and he says, listen, gun control is important to me, he's going to get some gun control. The question, of course, is with everything, is how much gun control is he going to get?
Yeah, it's tough to do in New York State because we have a considerable amount of gun control.
Yeah.
So some of it may be very technical improvements.
Yeah, and I think that the challenge with that, even for Senator Skelos in particular, is that you know, even the Republican delegation is going to be of two minds of that. If you're a New York City or Long Island Republican, you are more apt to be for more gun control. That would more likely to be the case. I mean, Carolyn McCarthy came out of Long Island. There's definitely more sensitivity to that. And then, whereas upstate, you have a very strong sort of, you know, a sportsman community and whatnot that has more of a history of and tie to that. So it's a difficult politics, I think, for Senator Skelos, not Democrat-Republican, but Republican-Republican.
That's David.
Don't you guys agree that Skelos owes a great deal to Cuomo?
I think that their partnership, Alan, has contributed to the governor's high approval rating. I mean, and I think that the governor understands that as well. I mean, I do think it's been a partnership, and I do think it, as someone McEnany was talking about, that dysfunction that was there that really painted everyone with a bad brush really went away.
That's David Catalfamo. He is a partner at the Albany-based consulting and communications firm Capital Public Strategies. Also, we are joined today by retired Assemblyman Jack McEnany and Dr. Alan Chartok, our political observer. And Alan, you know, the elephant in the room is, of course, 2016. Will you see any, albeit subtle, indications of where he might go today?
Absolutely. I mean, everything from global warming and all the rest of it is. Now, they're very sensitive about this. The governor's people are very sensitive about this. They think it's, you know, they think everybody's going to say it. They don't want everybody to say it. But I think you don't want to be anywhere standing between Andrew Cuomo and, you know, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Now, whether that can happen is a very good question. Hillary was just on the news, on your news, and she said, it's not retirement. I'm just going to step out of the way, quote, for a while. Well, for a while, it seems to me, gives all kinds of encouragement to the people who want Hillary. And if Hillary wants to run, she's going to be the candidate, and it ain't going to be Andrew Cuomo.
Mm. Okay. All right, Jack, you want to opine? Jack McEnany?
Well, you know, it's the nature of the beast. If you're the occupant of Eagle Street, you move into that mansion, it doesn't matter whether you're Mario Cuomo or George Pataki or now Andrew Cuomo. We have a history of producing national leaders, strong national leaders. We're very proud of that. And I think I can understand where Andrew Cuomo finds it to be a distraction. And it's not just spin, because everything you do is looked at in the light of, is this going to move you closer to the White House? How can you govern a blue state when the rest of the nation is not quite as blue as New York? And which audience are you appealing to? And it becomes a distraction from day-to-day governing. And I think for that reason, it's very right that the governor would prefer to play that down so we can get through the crises that we have on hand now. We've got problems with, we have a brand new education report, jobs, the economy, and economic development. He's been a real activist on. He's used Lieutenant Governor Duffy as well. And then the question of debt and taxes that consumes everybody these days. And if you spend all your time about what's going to happen in 2 years from now, I think there's a feeling you won't do a good job with what you really want to do first.
Getting back to our earlier discussion on gun control, and it is widely suspected, and in fact, Alan just reported that the governor will cover gun control quite heavily today, Kendra's law. Now, Skelos talked about, you know, any gun control measures that will be increased should include strengthening of Kendra's law. And where do the parties stand, as you remember it, on that?
That's the NRA argument, too, that we don't have a gun problem. What we have is we have a mental health problem. We have a security against problem against dealing with people who can go into our schools, our malls, our theaters, our public buildings. And the mental health is the spin, and there's some validity to that spin that the NRA and their supporters would like to see it focus away from guns and on to mental health. And I think whatever legislation is proposed by the governor or by either house of the legislature, if it's to be two-house legislation, we'll have to have a mental health element to it. It'll have to be strong and vocal. Doesn't always involve guns. It certainly involves subways in New York cities and other things. So I think for Dean Skelos to push forward with a gun control bill, he would have to have a strong plank, if you will, using platform language, that would expand Kendra's law or something like it.
So we'll let Alan jump in here in a second. But you mentioned that they were discussing, they're close to a deal on this now. And I would think that almost an upstate, downstate issue. In other words, there are so many rural areas upstate where gun control perhaps, you know, there are a lot of guns. There is a lot of hunting. It must be a tougher sell the further north you go.
Well, I do notice, I listen to the conservative radio shows on occasion, is that
what?
There, yes, we do. And
all right, Alan.
And we're listening, and we're looking at people who are confusing all guns when, in fact, most of our emphasis is on handguns. We could care less if everybody had a shotgun in their house and in their car, or just a traditional deer rifle or that type of thing. What we're talking about is pistol permits and handguns, and we're talking about military-style automatic weapons.
Okay.
We're not talking about somebody's shotgun. We could care less.
But you did, but Ray, you know, one thing that bothers me a little about this whole thing is that all of a sudden we're paying attention to the mentally ill. Now, this is a state which has, in recent years, certainly not gone out of its way to provide more and more and more resources for the mentally ill. So if it's just that we're going to take the mentally ill and we're going to make monsters out of them, and it's going to be stigmatizing mental health issues even more, that could be a very terrible thing.
But it could be a terrible thing, Alan, but I mean, I think it would be ignoring reality to not look at some of the events that have occurred and not look at Adam Lanza, not look at folks getting thrown in front of subways and not say that there's a mental health component to it.
No, that's right. Yeah. But I'll tell you, I wrote my doctoral dissertation on this very subject. And one of the things that's so interesting to me is that we were supposed to have a system of community mental health centers freestanding in the state. Never really happened. The hospitals gobbled some of them up. Most of it never happened. The budget hasn't been good. The mentally ill, as it has often been said, don't have alumni associations and great lobbyists up there. So if it's just to demonize them and to say, oh, you know, this is a mental health problem, as opposed to really doing something about helping people with mental health problems, then something awful will be going on.
20 years ago, the big issue, and people were falsely naively declaring victory, was deinstitutionalization. And what was discussed then in 1993 was that 85% of the savings of closing down the big institutions would go into community mental health. And frankly, we welched on the deal. It never happened.
Indeed.
That's right.
Indeed.
We are awaiting Governor Cuomo, who will be joining us live from the Capitol in a matter of just a couple of moments. We're watching the monitor, and we will take you live to downtown Albany for that as it happens. And you're listening to WAMC. It's a long Vox Pop today. And after the speech, we'll have some more analysis with our panel of three here, and then we will open the phones and jot down the number if you wish, 1-800 348-2551 is that number. David, tax hikes, yay or nay today?
Oh, for sure not.
Absolutely not?
He's not going to talk about them, and I doubt that they play any significant role in this budget, whether or not there's some, you know, fees or that sort of stuff that's kind of buried in the budget. That wouldn't surprise me, but I would be shocked and appalled if I saw any broad-based tax increases of any kind.
I agree. Why spoil a perfectly good state of the state with a tax increase? But in the budget process, if a crisis comes up and there's a shortfall, that's an issue that will come later on, not during the state.
I mean, clearly Sandy's a crisis, right? Rebuilding from Sandy.
He said after Sandy, though, that he would not raise taxes in response to Sandy. I mean, that was his initial take.
If he raises taxes, we still have a federal government we're trying to get our fair share out of.
Right. So far that hasn't gone all that well.
Well, it's partially there, and you don't want to provide a solution with a raised tax so that Washington can say, see, they can do it themselves. They've already made preparation. No, that you won't hear anything about tax raises.
Alan?
That's right. You won't hear anything. He got great credit for lowering them. He's not going to start talking about raising them again.
But now, what do you think for the coming year? I mean, as David mentioned, he won't maybe mention them, but are we looking at anything that may surprise those of us not in the know?
No, I doubt it. I think that the deal is cut in Washington. The Speaker, Boehner, said that they gave the first 10, and he said they're going to pass the rest of it. And I think that full 60 will go a long way to ameliorating all of this.
You're listening to Vox Pop on WAMC. We are awaiting Governor Cuomo's State of the State. We will bring that to you live. We'll also bring the Republican response. We have our technicals in line here, Alan. You're coming in very well from your underground bunker, wherever you happen to be.
I'll give you this much. I was in New York City. I'm in New York City, and I was in a cab, and there was a governor, there was the mayor saying, give to the Sandy Relief Fund, the mayor's Sandy Relief Fund, and there's also a governor's Sandy Relief Fund. And I got to thinking, I wonder if there's a little competition going on here.
1-800-348-2551. Jot the number down. We will open the phones after Governor Cuomo delivers his State of the State and that we hear our response from the Republicans. And our guest today, David Catalfamo, who is a partner at the Albany-based consulting and communications firm Capital Public Strategies, a 20-year veteran of New York State government with extensive experience, also was director of communications for the Pataki administration for a time. Retired Assemblyman Jack McEnany is with us today after a long and distinguished career. Our own political observer, Alan Shartok, here it's from New York City. He's on the phone with us today, and we will certainly welcome you guys at home to give us a shout. We're waiting for Governor Cuomo. Any final predictions here, Jack, before we get rolling?
Well, I don't know about a prediction yet, but, I'm looking on our monitor here and remembering that 18 of the last 20 that I was at of State of the State, and I was at several before that for other governors, were always held in the Assembly Chamber, which we'd been working on to restore and did quite a job under Shelley Silver's leadership over the years. And I was very critical at the time it was moved down to the convention center and made some unkind comments to the convention center, which still stand as far as that's concerned. But
way to go, Jack.
What's happened here is that the message to the legislature, which is what the State of the State is actually, under Governor Cuomo has expanded greatly to the message to the people. And people could always get in, but not in the numbers that you'd like. And certainly they watched it on television or listened on the radio, as we always do. But this entire way of communicating, which is modern and up-to-date, it's almost a different generation communicating with the electronics and all of the background. Somebody's approaching,
but I don't think that's the governor. Now, Liz Benjamin made an offhand comment that the governor likes it cold in there. Is that true?
I wouldn't comment, but I've been reading that from some of our very cynical columnists that the heat is is turned down so that people will pay attention much better.
I see. Well, perhaps it'll warm up. We'll find out. Governor Cuomo's State of the State address anytime now. He's relatively prompt in general at these events.
Yeah.
Okay. The lights are going down. We'll see. Perhaps. Alan, anything else you want to add while we're filling time here?
No, you know, vamp till ready, Ray. I'm glad you're the host,
well,
not me.
we're in the key of E at this point, if you want to follow along.
Yeah, right.
All right, I think that's the governor. Am I wrong?
I think you're wrong.
I'm wrong. David Catalfamo says I'm wrong. All right.
I can tell you something definitively, if you really need some time here, is that James Taylor has been invited, not at this State of the State, but to the inauguration, and he'll be along with Beyonce,
Beyonce, right.
Yeah. Is that one of those you heard here first?
Well, we reported
it
earlier.
You heard it here first.
Yes. Now, Jack, Shelley Silver, he's in control again. Was there ever any doubt?
No, there was never any doubt. From what I understand, things went smoothly, if not universally, and the formal election probably happened an hour ago, because what you reported yesterday is strictly the caucus, the Democratic conference, and then the formal act takes place. I don't know what the vote was there. Sometimes the minority votes for their own minority leader. Sometimes, as a gesture of goodwill, they make it unanimous, but they're better than 2-1 outnumbered. So,
is he the boss for life?
I think so, but I think the news out of today is Assemblyman Joe Morelli is the majority leader.
Well, right? That's been the word on the street. Yeah, no, and I think it would make all
it came
the
across,
sense.
Yeah.
Did it?
Yeah. And
why is that so important?
Because he is. I'll say, with all due respect to Assemblyman Canestrari, who I respect tremendously, I think Assemblyman Morelli is. One has a very close relationship with the governor. I would call him more an up and coming, candidly, sort of member of the party and of the institution. And I would just kind of look at him to be maybe more in the mold of past majority leaders who play a very, very active role in setting the agenda in the conference and whatnot.
Well, he has more of a pro business background than Ron Canestrari did. Ron had. Run higher education and that sort of thing for a while. Morelli has gone from small business and is very concerned with economic development and provides the geographic balance of, once again, an upstate majority leader. He's respected. He's got well over 20 years service, and that will go over very well with the members and I think also with the governor's second floor as well.
Alan?
So while you're on the subject, guys, how could it be, he said with his tongue in his cheek, that you could have an assembly which is bluer than blue and a Senate which is not. Is it all about the way in which we draw our districts?
That has a lot to do with it. There's no question about it.
David's not saying a word.
I think everybody gets elected on their merit.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, his nose isn't growing. Let the record show.
Great.
Yeah.
I like it.
God, it's radio.
That's terrific.
You are listening to a special coverage of Governor Cuomo's State of the State Address, which we expect at any moment. And we're joined by retired Assemblyman Jack McEnany and David Catalfamo. Alan Shartok is with us as well. We will cover the speech in its entirety and the response, and then we'll open the phones to you at 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can call now if you want, but the governor will be speaking and we won't be taking your call. However, you could jot the number down and give us a call at the end of the speech.
So, David, how come, when you're an ex-governor and won three times, like Pataki, Governor Pataki, how do you, what do they think, what is a guy like that thinking as this is all happening? What do you think?
I still talk to him pretty regularly. I mean, he's very much adopted essentially sort of the standard that Governor Cuomo took towards him, which was only one governor at a time. And while he doesn't have to necessarily agree with everything or like everything, he thinks that the governor should have his free reign. And unless it's something that's really directly pertinent to something he really cared a lot about, he typically tends to keep his opinion to himself.
Yeah, we see that on the national level as well, that people who have actually walked the walk and talked the talk and know what it's like to sit in that chair with that responsibility invariably will respect the new holder of the office.
Yeah, George.
Well, I don't think Dick Cheney adhered to that.
Yeah, I was thinking of George Bush.
Yeah, who has
Cheney.
Been neither seen nor heard.
Has Dick been criticizing Joe Biden? Did I miss something?
No, he's been criticizing the president. And you damn well know it.
Perhaps he thought he was the president.
All right, then no swearing, Alan. I have a 7-second delay here. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. It's extended an extra hour today. We are joined by a distinguished panel. We're waiting for Governor Cuomo and his 2013 State of the State address. any moment now, boys and girls. And if you want to call in, give us a call at 800-348-2551.
One of the things that just popped up here, which might be of interest to some of your listeners, is that it appears that the governor plans to honor the families of the Webster victims.
Which in near Rochester.
Yeah, certainly ties in with gun control measures.
And let me ask you guys a question. Polling is very important. One of the top guys in the Cuomo administration is Drew Zambelli, who is an excellent pollster. How much do you think the agenda is driven by what they see people wanting and not wanting? And that, and while you're filling out your blue books, you might want to bring the whole question of gun control into that framework.
I think
who goes first?
I think the difficult thing about polling an issue like gun control right now is that it's so hot. The numbers will move still. You know, I mean, it's so hot. That you it's difficult to get a real read that will last over time. And so, while clearly I've seen recent polling that we've done ourselves that it's even supported by a fair number of Republicans, additional gun control, you got to wonder kind of what the staying power on that is. And unfortunately, as a society, we tend to move past issues.
I think the iron is hot right now
indeed.
Because of the tragedies we've seen just in the last few months. And this is probably the time to come up with something. But the gun control is more of a upstate, downstate issue.
Yeah.
We've had the Sullivan Law since 1910, I think, in New York City.
Why don't you remind everybody what that is, Jack?
The Sullivan Law basically curtails handguns and ownership in New York City and won't even let you pass through. And it was well ahead of its time in terms of control. And New York City today has the lowest murder rate of any large city in the United States. So you can't argue with its effectiveness. So there's an acceptance in the downstate area of gun control. Plus, you don't have the gun culture. One, you weren't allowed to have it to a certain extent. But, you don't have the hunting and the sportsman tradition that you have in upstate New York. So it becomes, I think, in many ways, much more of a problem for the Republican Party because they're bifurcated in their attitude toward guns.
Well, really, the problem is illegal guns, though, right? I mean, there are plenty of those in New York.
Yes, and it's handguns as well. When you listen to the alarmists speak, you would think they're going after your shotgun or your deer rifle and stopping hunting with your children and so on. This is illegal guns, and
are already illegal, though, right, Jack?
Yes. That's why I don't know what new legislation would do, since we probably have the strongest gun regulation laws of any state in the nation.
So what you point out is that it's really a federal issue, and it is. On the other hand, there are things like, the labeling of guns and stamping of bullets so that making it even easier for the police, who generally like this kind of thing, to do their job.
Yeah, also the trafficking of illegal guns into New York State, that's fair game that I think both sides can agree on.
Jack, what do you think about casinos? Is it a done deal? All right, well, we'll get Alan back in a moment. casinos in New York.
He's probably switching to a new taxi.
Fast track?
Yeah, I would think. I've always been against them. Everybody in the Capital Region has always voted no on them, and I was surprised to see that in the 10-point litmus test as reforms.
Yeah.
So I think there's a struggle there, but the governor has a tremendous popularity, and my guess is he's going to push it through for economic development reasons.
And how about the popular vote if it comes to that? What do you think?
Well, unfortunately, the American democracy is being destroyed by money spending, and I think a fortune will be spent on that referendum, probably with a lot of misleading ads. So I'm pretty cynical on the referendum if it gets that far.
Go ahead, David.
But I think on both sides, Jack. I mean, I think that there'll be money pouring in from the pro and the anti, because the reality is that you're going to have some gaming interests that don't want it to happen in New York.
Sure.
And they'll spend a lot of money to prevent it, whereas those who feel like they have an inside track are going to spend a lot of money.
But the ones who feel emotionally against it for humanitarian reasons, those are the people who will not have a lot of money.
Alan, and you're back with us, yes?
I am. I'm back with you, like it or not.
In your inside information on what is coming up in the governor's State of the State of state speech any moment, is there a mention that you see of casino gambling in the state?
No, you know, I frankly should have asked that question. I didn't, and as a result, I have to tell you, I don't know.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, you know, it seems to me, Jack, that, you know, although there are many in your camp that are against it, it certainly will bring a certain number of jobs. And I think that argument could be made as well. Yes.
A lot of things will bring jobs. That's the issue with hydrofracking for that that matter. And that, you know, how those scales come down is important. The only thing is I can't see casino gambling being billed as a reform. And in the city of New York, just sitting many, many years in the Democratic conference, 21 years, because I had conference privileges under Dick Connors, the New York City members don't seem to be in favor of any kind of casino in New York City. Well, that's
why.
I think because of the social fallout on it. I think the fact that addictive gambling is a reality and they see it.
And they've looked at things like Atlantic City, which certainly, as a political entity, hasn't been improved that much.
Yes, I always say if with the number of years we've had casino gambling in Atlantic City, that place should be Valhalla. It should have the best schools, the finest government, the best paved streets and working infrastructure. All those years, all those, I'm sure by now, billions of dollars that have passed through, and I don't know anybody who feels safe walking more than two blocks in back of the
casino.
Well,
that may be so, but I'm going to make a prediction here. Way out on a ledge, you're going to get it anyway.
All right, Alan.
I just think that there's, this get the money is so important, and the logic of not giving it to the other guys, not letting them go to New Jersey, not letting them go to Connecticut, is a very appealing, and Massachusetts now is a very appealing argument to the people who are looking for the money.
David, what do you think?
Two points. One is, you know, on the jobs front, I mean, we do see, I mean, the Oneidas are the largest employer in central New York.
Yeah.
And that's
Turning Stone.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And that's getting bigger every day. And they have bigger plans, and I can say in full disclosure, they're not a client. So, you know, so they do have an economic impact. And I do worry, and I actually share your feelings to some of them on it personally, but you do wonder at what point does it start to cannibalize other aspects of the economy and other entertainment dollars.
Yeah, we have the same argument with the mixed martial arts, the ultimate fighting, and what's the final argument? Well, if they don't do it here, they'll do it someplace else, and we'll get nothing out of it.
But is that the cash cow that casino gambling could be?
It's the same thing on a smaller level because it's more limited.
I think we are getting close to Governor Cuomo's speech. I think I saw the chief judges coming in the room. The Senate is coming in now, so it is coming close. And he's fairly late, 15 minutes late.
In junior high school 118, where I was in the orchestra.
Yeah.
In Manhattan, we had a wonderful processional that we played called The March of the Peers.
Yes.
Gilbert and Sullivan wrote in order to make fun of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they all come on in, I know this is somewhat disrespectful, I think of The March of the Peers playing in my head.
Mm.
And there they are.
I don't know how Jack McEnany would take that if he saw you in person, frankly. You're lucky you're separated by 150 miles, Alan. That's all I can say.
Not at all. We're old pals.
You are listening to live coverage on WAMC. It's Governor Cuomo's 2013 State of the State Address. It will be here any moment. Jack McEnany is here, David Cataldo, and Alan Shartok. Now, depending on how things go and how long do you think this will go, Jack?
Over an hour.
Over an hour?
That's my guess.
Okay. Well, we may or may not open the phones, but hang with us and listen closely. Take a few notes. If we have time, we'll open the phones for you later in this extended edition of Vox Pop. Alan?
Do you think there's any possibility that they're sitting there, the governor and his top staff people, and saying, you know, we're going to really make Ray Graff and his two guests or three guests sweat?
I think it's a very slim possibility. Very, very slim. Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
This is interesting. From what I can see on this smallest monitor known to science.
Oh, that's nice, Jack. Well, our budget is small in public radio. Come on.
From what I can see, it looks like the entire legislature is marching in.
Yeah.
We're still looking at legislators. I mean, I remember the first time I wound up sitting with the audience because it was it wasn't quite as organized.
Okay, so it's a very well organized event, and if some of the pundits are correct, it is very chilly in the room right now. And Governor Cuomo should be with us at
that
any time.
That could be urban legend now.
No, so you're not. You're not.
I'm not confirming
it, you know, Governor Pataki, Andrew Cuomo, and so many others. They have this motion, drives me crazy. All of a sudden, they're pointing at people. You know, you know that pointing thing.
Yeah.
Where they point out there as if, hey, look who's here. I never saw that guy before. Point at him.
Well,
and I don't think anybody's really getting pointed at.
It's very effective for parades too, Alan. That I can.
Look at that.
You're very cynical, Alan. You're even more cynical when you're in New York City. Hard to believe.
Well, why not?
Well, I guess so.
An interesting thing, they posted the not the address, because his speech is different than the book he puts out. Mm-hmm. The text, I like that. But one of the things that's in his published address now, which is up online, and we can all look at it, it's like 300 pages, is that he's going to propose making amounts of marijuana 15 grams or less a violation punishable only by a fine. So I assume that has to speak to the stop and frisk issue and whatnot in the city, which I would assume would be.
Well, the stop and frisk, if I'm not mistaken, there was a decision yesterday, I believe, on that, and struck it down anyway. Is this a reaction to some of the legislation in Washington or Colorado or Oregon or Colorado?
Hard to say. I mean, again, I'm reading it really quick here. I mean, it sounds somewhat consistent with some of the comments he's made in the past.
Yeah.
I think we knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well, everyone is standing, I believe. It looks like everyone's standing, so I think it may be time. Either that or someone's going to get married very soon. We're not sure. Nope. Sorry, Alan. I'm sorry to keep you waiting there.
That's what they've done. This year they've taken the entire legislature.
Yeah.
Which is one seat bigger than before.
Well, Jack, you were fairly surprised that it was not a 1 o'clock start today.
I was. That was traditionally, it was always a 1 o'clock start. But then I realized the reason it sort of fell apart logistically was because you had to elect the speaker in the assembly, and I assume the same in the Senate, and then you had to walk from the governor or from the Capitol all the way over.
Now, do you think that the slight delay here, okay, the lieutenant governor is speaking, and we're not carrying that? No? Getting shrugs. All right, we'll wait for the governor then. Apologies to the lieutenant
governor. Who makes these decisions at WAMC anyway?
Well, I don't know.
Are we taking the lieutenant governor?
Well, it's fly by the seat of the pants, Alan. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Well, let's put it this way, Ray. It would be better to hear him than us.
Actually, he's introducing the controller and the attorney general and so on.
Well, that's good when you hear that. I like it when you hear that.
All right. Well, that'll be less of you then, you know.
That's fine.
Okay. Well, then hit it, Zach. You're listening to live coverage on WAMC. Welcome back to this special edition of Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We're joined today for analysis and commentary of the just-concluded New York State of the State Address by recently retired New York State Assemblyman Jack McEnany, David Catalfamo, partner at New York State Political Communications, a firm Capital Public Strategies, and we will get to the panel in just a moment. You can give us a call if you want. We have a little bit of time here. We will bypass Northeast Report. You'll get all the latest at Northeast Report Late Edition at 6. But if you want to jump in, now's your chance. We'll take a few calls, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post your comments on the Vox Pop page of our website at WAMC.org, on Facebook at facebook.com/WAMC radio, or tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. Well, we'll start with David Catalfamo, and it's been so long, I'm not sure I'm even saying your name right now. your thoughts. I mean, it was obviously his hot spot was talking about the agenda for achieving equality for women, and perhaps with an eye toward 2016. What did you take from what you just heard, David?
I take it that I was completely wrong when we were running up to this, where I said I didn't think that he was going to reposition himself at all, and I think that he did. I think that he clearly struck out
Left?
He went left, yeah. And he did it with a women's agenda, which clearly I think people will take to read as some response potentially to Senator Clinton or Secretary Clinton and the rising gender gap that Republicans have had. I haven't seen it in Democratic polling. You see it with marijuana possession. You see it with climate change. You see it with the whole host of issues that were laid out here and also with the issues he avoided.
Such as
hydrofracking, such as Supplement McEnany was saying earlier, things, serious issues like Medicaid, local government reform, mandate relief. But all those are, important issues, but certainly don't fit into a progressive agenda.
Assemblyman McEnany, were you very surprised? You weren't surprised that he didn't mention hydrofracking, were you?
No, I was not surprised. I thought there might be a quick allusion. There may be something in the 300-page text that we haven't had a chance to review that we know all our legislators will be reading cover to cover
you
tonight.
Think?
So they
you think?
Have it first thing in the morning.
Interesting.
But, the moving to the left, his closing was that New York should become and is and will become the progressive capital. Mm. And that word progressive is a word generally used by the left. And it would set a precedent for the nation. And that the closing or the reminder of the Statue of Liberty offering health insurance, which is not what's on there, I think it was clearly a move to the left to reassure the base on the left after a time when it's been difficult over the last 2 years, particularly on issues like Tier 6 and a tax cap on the schools. I think the base, the progressive base, will be generally more pleased than they've been, and his credentials in that area will be shored up.
Were you at all surprised at the mention of extending the school day and or year as far as in light of Tier 6 and in light of the 2% tax cap?
One of the great complaints of local government in particular is unfunded mandates. And I'm not sure whether that gets the 100%, but saying it's a local option was significant. Mm-hmm. And I think extending the school year could be a mistake. Anybody who's taught on the last week of June knows who's paying attention, which is nobody for the last few days. And going into July doesn't make a lot of sense. Extending the school day, there's only so much that you can absorb. So unless you've got a richer extracurricular arts and sports and activities built into that longer day, that can be counterproductive. And, I'd like to see some models out there. I think in general, though, he was pretty specific in some of his items that had subchapters on them and bullets and things like that.
Well, don't you think that to some extent the extension of a school year or full day pre-K is a way to make amends with the unions?
But somebody has to pay for it. And I didn't hear that part. I heard 100% funding on a couple of things there. But I think the devil is always in the details. But I've said that for every state of the state. Going back to Governor Wilson, because state of the state is a broad brush, and not all the details are in it. And that we'll find out. The great moment of truth always comes. The other shoe falls with the presentation of the budget.
Mm. Now, David Catalfo, a lot of focus on upstate, specifically mentioning three casinos for upstate right away. Nothing downstate as far as casinos go. More in line with what you were thinking?
Well, I think it's good economic development policy. Look, I mean, New York is in the New York metropolitan area is one of the richest and most robust areas of the world, let alone the country. It happens to be 180 miles to the south of us, and the fact is that we should take advantage of it from the point of view of tourism, from the point of view of investment. You'll have money being invested around the country and around the world when you have projects and opportunity in upstate New York. So I think that the focus makes sense and is correct. And obviously, there's a political dynamic too with respect to the casinos, whereas Speaker Silver has repeatedly indicated his interest in not having a casino in the city, and that's also a big deal with the Black and Puerto Rican caucus, who've said the same. Yeah. So it's also a recognition of a political accommodation of some sort.
Our guests right now, as we take a look back at the last hour, well, actually couple of hours, but an hour of a speech from Governor Cuomo, retired New York State Assemblyman Jack McEnany, also David Catalfimo, partner at New York State political communications firm Capital Public Strategies. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. If you want to jump in, we'll take it right up to the top of the hour. Let's go over to David in New Paltz. David, you're on.
Yes. What really fascinated me was that there was not one mention of Canada on the border of upstate New York. Canada is one of the top 10 economies in the world. And by opening up that border, just like they open up the border between Mexico and Texas, you have tremendous energy wanting to come through. You got three waterways. You got the Hudson River, you got the Great Lakes, and you've got the St. Lawrence Seaway. None of them have been utilized to open up trade between Canada and the United States.
All right. Well, gentlemen, what do you think?
There was also, actually, Canada was mentioned twice, once on the map as having casinos, and the second time as having a longer school year.
Ah.
But, you know, there was no mention of the St. Lawrence Seaway. There was no mention, for that matter, of our own Erie Canal. And also,
and the Hudson River.
And the Hudson River. And also, when one thinks of Canada, one also thinks of hydropower, which has been in the news
clean,
lately.
Green energy.
Yeah. Right. Well, and there was no specificity for Canada during this.
David, thanks a lot for the call. Obviously, you can't get everything in.
No, and we don't know what's in the 300 pages.
All right. And, of course, you will read that tonight, Jack, and report back.
Cover to cover.
It didn't mention France either, so, you know.
All right. All right. Very good. Thank you. Let's go to Lily in Stone Ridge. Lily, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to say that, you know, I thought that Cuomo's speech was actually quite excellent, if he really is going to follow through on most of what he said. But I was really shocked because my family and I just came back from the anti-fracking rally in Albany, and, mm-hmm. and there were thousands of us there, and we were all screaming at these people going into the, you know, his speech. And how he could not actually mention anything about fracking is beyond me. So I wondered if you could address
it's
that.
It's a hot potato, is it not? Jack?
Yeah, it is. It is. And I know he wanted to avoid it, but I thought, you know, my God, you know, we were all out there, you know, screaming our hearts out. He had to just say something, didn't he? But,
well, I think that's obvious that it didn't happen. There were also many people screaming on the other side as well. And I think emphasizing global warming and preparation for the next Hurricane Sandy, et cetera, was certainly reaching out to the environmental community. But I think there was an elephant in the room, and nobody wanted to acknowledge it when that speech was put together. So I think it was a void, and I think it's something that's not going to go away. And
Lily, thanks a lot for the call. The number to call here for the last 13 minutes of the program with Jack and David is 1-800-348-2551, an extended Vox Pop. We heard Governor Cuomo's State of the State address. Back to the phones we go, and Mike in Saratoga Springs. Mike.
Oh, good afternoon, gentlemen. I was calling because I was very happy with Governor Cuomo's message about gun control. I liked his message saying it's not Second Amendment, it's a common sense issue, especially you know what we're dealing with, our gun show up here in Saratoga Springs. But I'm so happy to see that, yeah, you don't need that type of rifle, that type of weapon in the general public. And I'm so happy to hear that.
Anybody?
I agree. I think it was also important from a personal point of view to point out he's an individual who's not anti-guns per se, that he has been hunting, that he owns a gun, and that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about assault weapons, and I think that was important that he put in a personal comment there.
Mike, yeah. Thanks a lot for the call.
But I think on that, though, the devil's going to be in the details on that.
Yes.
Because there are whole class of sportsmen out there who, you know, use these for target practice, go to the range and things like that.
Sure.
You know, the question is whether or not how far we extend it to that sort of class of weaponry and whatnot.
Do you see significant pushback from Senate Republicans as the details are worked out here?
I think it's a real difficult issue for them given their own geographic split in their conference. You know, they have 9 Long Island senators, one in the city and a couple down in Westchester in that area. And I think that population is very much in tune with some of the concerns that Governor Cuomo raised and very eloquently. And so I think it's going to be a very difficult issue for him. But it's got what I did like about what the governor put out was that it was comprehensive and it touched on a lot of different facets.
Yes. Yeah.
1-800-348-2551, the phone number. Jack McEnany and David Catalfamo is here. Let's go to Joanne in Essex County. Joanne.
Yes, I think that what the governor put out was an agenda that many in the country expected from Obama's administration and when he was first elected, and instead this horrible gridlock that's going on and special interests that are getting the upper hand and stopping everything. And I think that he's decided that to heck with the rest of the country, we're going to move ahead on these issues that people care about, and maybe we will be the leaders. And the other thing is, I think your two commentators there are, sound like business as usual in New York State. They're negative. They see only minor details of thinking about this won't work, blah, blah, blah. And I don't think they got the gist of the sort of enthusiasm that at least I felt, and probably plenty of other people, in listening to the governor's speech. I think that we have to move ahead on these issues, and to heck with the federal federal government if they don't want to do anything. They're just gridlocked.
All right, Joanne, well, thank you. And gentlemen, you're jaded, and, you're obviously... you've been around here and you've seen how it works, so obviously you have a reason to maybe temper your enthusiasm a tad.
Well, yes? Why isn't Joanne's enthusiasm tempered? Because as she pointed out, President Obama gives the best speeches in the world, and she articulated that she was disappointed in her agenda. So look, the rubber's got to meet the road. I mean, governing is not just speeches, and I mean, so we're not jaded. We're going by experience.
Were you guys at all surprised with how strident the governor was about the gridlock in Washington toward the very end of his address when he said, "Hey, we'll remember. We New York will remember."
That was an interesting phrase, and I did catch it, and it was very interesting to hear that. And yes, don't bring your gridlock to Albany.
Yeah.
It was his Chris Christie moment. He was doing the Chris Christie thing on the New York side. But look, I'll say I agree with him 100%. And, I think it's absolutely outrageous the delay that's been undertaken. And the reality is, while there probably should be changes in the way that federal disaster aid is meted out, you don't do it in the middle of a disaster. You do it at another time. And it's really been embarrassing.
1-800-348-2551 is our number on this extended Vox Pop. Let's go to Richard. Are you in Queens or are you on the way to Queens? Hello,
Richard. I'm on the way to Queens.
All right, hope you're hands-free.
Yeah, I'm hands-free.
Okay, you're on.
Okay, great. I heard the Assemblyman's comment that there were just as many people on the side of for fracking as against fracking. That's just not true.
No, I did not say just as many, but there was a large group there also, mainly.
It was about 500 to 1, and I think that the governor actually had a responsibility to address the issue of fracking when so many people in the state are horribly against this travesty of the potential, even the potential of poisoning our water. And I think he skirted that responsibility. He owes it to us. And I think there's a reason he skirted it, and it might lose him an election in the future at least.
Well, Richard, I mean, I would say that the polls are fairly even on this when they poll New Yorkers. So, I mean, the Assemblyman's point is taken that there's a large percentage of New York, perhaps not downstate, but there are those who say, hey, listen, our economy is depressed. If we could do this safely, let's go ahead.
But I think the governor would have been wise to acknowledge the issue and acknowledge the extreme passion on both sides of it and leave it at that, because he said consistently that he's going to leave it to science. He's going to leave it to the regulators. But to acknowledge, I mean, we all know it. And there were literally and Richard's right. There were a lot of people here in Albany today. They came here to express opinion. He didn't need to move the ball forward on the issue. I think the Assemblyman said maybe just kind of let the air out of the balloon a little bit and say, yeah, I know you care. And a lot of people on both sides do.
All right, let's go over to Ryan in Albany. Ryan, you're on.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, you're on.
Hey, yeah, great. I just wanted to mention real quick that I disagree with the gun rights statements that Governor Cuomo made during his speech. And I know that he only specifically mentioned shotguns, and he makes it seem so simple. And then it's, hey, we're not going after the hunters. We're not going after the sportsmen. I've shot a shotgun before, and I know he mentioned assault rifles that they're looking to attack, but what defines an assault rifle? Does that mean it's going to slowly affect a lever action 30-30 Marlin or a 270 bolt action? Where does it end? I'm a law-abiding, tax-paying citizen of upstate New York, and where does it end? That's my right, my Second Amendment right to bear arms.
Anybody?
So that's my comment.
All right, thanks a lot.
It actually goes exactly to the point that I made, is that the devil's going to be in the details on this, you know, and a couple of the other things he said, you know, the pre-1994 clips, you know, banning those. Yep. I don't know how many of them are left really out there that are around. So, I mean, you know, this is yet to be – we got a long way to go on this.
Let's go to John in Dutchess County, who brings up a point that we discussed when we were off air about unfunded mandates. Go ahead, John. You're on the air.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Okay, I'm a member of the Dutchess County Legislature, and, you know, every municipality is dealing with property tax caps, and, you know, but yeah, I have yet to see any strategy to deal with the unfunded mandates that the counties have to deal with when it comes to Albany. You know, and I'm talking about Medicaid, I'm talking about pension relief.
Yeah, well, Jack was discussing this with us at length. Jack, why don't you take this one?
I thought there were two voids in the speech, and they may be in the 300 pages. I don't know. One was the fracking, which has already been mentioned, and the other was the lack of the unfunded mandate crisis. Now, you're a county legislator. And,
that's correct.
And most counties would have almost no property tax if they didn't have a local share for Medicaid. And the school districts, which are now trying to live with the 2% cap, there are some exceptions where they've exceeded it, are some of them near bankruptcy. And the other half of that equation on the 2% was supposed to be mandate relief. So I would have hoped that that was a major plank in this platform, if you will, of where the governor would like to go forward. And it wasn't there.
Hey, John, thanks a lot for the call. Go ahead, David.
Thank you.
I think probably the only thing that actually even got close to that was the control board light sort of proposal, which was to provide public private help to restructure debt.
That sounded like an advisory.
Yeah. You know, that particular portion, and I was reading along, and he's talking about the local government finance proposed creating a financial restructuring assistance program to offer advice to all counties, cities, towns, and villages. Now, is this do you have to ask for this, or are they going to step in and say, "Boy, you need help. Here we go. We're here now, whether you like it or not."
It sounded like it was going to be as needed or available,
or maybe with a triggering mechanism when you exceed a certain percentage of your taxable ability.
So, like Massachusetts, to some extent.
Again, the devil's in the detail. Our friend up in Essex County should understand when we sound a negative, it's that this is not a monarchy.
Yeah.
We have to deal with an elected legislature.
Yeah.
And what will fly and won't fly in both houses, not just one, that's what you're speculating on. It's not putting down the governor's enthusiasm, his popularity, his agenda for progress, but what is going to make it through this legislature. So,
and what do you think, as a man who was there for a long time, what do you think is going to get through?
I think he's going to be overwhelmingly positive. I think he's going to have a very high score, as he has the last couple of years. But I think there will be some things that are going to have to be changed if they're going to make it through the Senate in particular. And that's where that famous devil in the details takes over. So there's going to be a function for the legislature, and people are going to have to weigh in. And it's not a slam dunk. It never is. Plus, there's a lot of good things there with money attached, and that means the budget has to be balanced.
Where is it going to come from? In the last minute we have, I'll give you guys each a few seconds to discuss a pie in the sky moment. We don't have time for calls at this point. 2016, did you see anything in the last hour which you think maybe is a nod that he has his eye on that prize?
If I was to point out one thing, I would say the women's agenda.
Yeah?
I would agree with that, and also the recognition of global warming and actually doing something practical about it, and to have a green agenda.
Okay. Well, this has been, and by the way, gentlemen, thanks for sticking around for so long. We appreciate it. We are about out of time. Thanks to everybody who checked in on the phone and online. Remember, you can visit our website and keep the conversation alive, WAMC.org. Thanks to our panel, Jack McEnany, David Catalfamo, and Alan Shartok, who was here for the first portion of the program. Our engineer, Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Colleen No, not Colleen O'Connell. Sally answered the calls. Thanks, Sally. Our producer is Patrick Dodges. Thanks also to Katie Britton. A programming note, we will bring you reaction to the speech from local officials from across WAMC's New York listening area tonight at 6 p.m. on Northeast Report Late Edition with Brian Shields. All right, support for WAMC comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering 70 full and part-time graduate programs, including an evening MBA to meet personal and professional goals. 518-454-5143. Don Muller Gallery, Northampton, Massachusetts, specializing in jewelry, custom designs, handcrafted glass, and gifts by American artists since 1978. Facebook and donmullergallery.com. And Ruggie's Subaru in the village of Rhinebeck. New Subarus and over 150 pre-owned vehicles, specializing in Subaru and GM vehicle service and parts. Ruggie'sSubaru.com. Thanks again for joining us for this special edition of Vox Pop, WAMC's coverage of the 2013 New York State of the State Address. Stay tuned now for a news update.